For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You never really know someone until you find out what they've buried. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring retired FBI Special Agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Sherry Franke, the daughter of former YouTuber of the Eight Passengers show of Ruby Franke, is now speaking out. Sherry Franke, for the first time, revealing her story of what happened behind the walls of the home of Ruby Franke all those years ago, which really was not that far back, along with Jody Hildebrandt. What changed in life? How did things suddenly go from this 2 million plus following on YouTube to mom being in prison? Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, and someone who's also been following this for quite some time. The new book is out. I have not had a chance to read it fully, but I certainly have done the cliff notes. What's been your reaction to her coming out with these stories, her truth, her memoir of life growing up amongst Ruby Franke as a mom?
Well, first of all, I just so support this victim. I see her as a true victim. I see all those children as such victims, and I plan to buy the book and read the book. I just fully want to put my support behind her in the interviews I've seen and everything she's gone through. Really, I got to say, my heart has just really gone out to her and her brothers and sisters. I mean, it's clear that I think her story is going to be gut-wrenching. It's going to be sick. I mean, we've already heard about, you know, she's talked about her affair with a 40-year-old when she was only 18. I mean, this life in the world of, you know, the Latter-day Saints, which I'm very familiar with, did an investigation on just this type of activity in these, you know, this masculine oriented type culture where women are not much more than just objects in some circles. And I think it's going to be heart-wrenching. I'm just so glad she broke free from most of it.
You took the safe road and said culture. I'll just call it a cult, which is kind of what it is. Are you, I mean, what one of the big things that stood out for me, and you just mentioned it, in this wasn't even necessarily the direct actions of Ruby Franke, but the repercussions of raising a child in the way that she did. And then the validation that that her daughter needed to find herself at 18 years old. She finds herself having an affair with a member of their church who was married. She's 18, he's 40. And mom and Jody are just kind of like, well, you know, what happens? That's disturbing. And it's really, I'm glad that she certainly got out of that and she found her way. But it's so sad that someone felt the need that this was the out. This was the better thing for herself outside of her mom.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine just not only what you would go through as a child, but watching your siblings, your young little siblings, be starved to death, be taped, be bonded? What I think that's what's so hard on a child is watching the siblings you have be mm-hmm. treated so poorly too, and trying to protect them likely and you know, do what you can for them. The whole thing is just heart-wrenching. I mean, she's an absolute sadistic monster. Mm-hmm. She just is. Ruby Frankie is. And there's absolutely no excuse, in my view, that can ever be given to her for what she did to her children.
Were you surprised by any of the allegations or anything new that came out from her daughter in the new book and what she said in some of the interviews?
No, I've only seen the interviews and the Cliff Notes, as you said. I have not read the book, but to support her, I'm going to buy that book.
Yeah.
No, I'm not surprised. You know, when you looked at the state of her son mm-hmm. and her daughter that were, you know, in a sense rescued, if you will, one rescued himself, but nothing surprises me. I don't think anything was beyond what she was capable of doing to those children. They meant nothing to her, clearly. And, you know, people who abuse like that, you see it over and over, it's shocking what they're capable of doing to another human being. And that's her. That was her.
It was a big change, she says in the book, when Jody entered the picture. That was the big thing that she says really made mom into something completely different. Of course, we're talking about what Sherry is saying about Ruby Frankie. And it, I mean, everything completely more sadistic punishments, things that were far worse than what she had been doing. And what she had been doing was not good to begin with, depriving her kids mm-hmm. of food and places to sleep and just torturous type things that probably even violate the Geneva Convention for what we can do with prisoners, quite honestly. Calling mm-hmm. her children evil and possessed, and then the connections route with Jody somehow kind of intermingling weird religious beliefs to justify the horrible treatment of the children. Was Ruby sucked into a cult with Jody? And if so, I mean, what was her role in that? Well, people do find themselves falling into cults, but usually you've got to be somewhat prepped to fall into that, or you're already just kind of lying in wait and your mind is already, you know, just primed for the taking from somebody like a Jody.
Well, you know, my take on this is, as you alluded to, even during the eight passengers and a lot of those time frames, she was still using the same type of ploy, really mistreating her children. It was just at a lesser level. You know, you forget to pack your lunch. Good, you can starve. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go 8 hours without eating. Just one example. And to me, what happens is, Tony, and this happens in every kind of crime, whether it's murder, kidnapping, you know, child abuse, when you have a partner in crime, that's when you really get brave. That's when your notions become stronger and you become backed, you back one another mm-hmm. in your actions and you become more bold in your criminal activity. That's just period, end of story. And I think that's really what happened, is she emboldened mm-hmm. Ruby Frankie.
Yeah, because I think you look at it going, okay, who was the ringleader here? And I think ultimately it really looks like Jody was kind of pulling the strings, but Ruby was the keyboard and she was on and she was ready to go. Like, play me, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. And it's spooky to think about just what lengths she was able to go to. Can someone like this... it's more of a psychological question, but, you know, you've dealt with so many different types of people. Is there ever any sort of forgiveness or coming back together for any member of the family to be with Ruby in any sort of healthy way down the road when she gets out, when these kids have been older, had some therapy, maybe worked on some healing? Or is it a case like this just always best where, you know, Ruby's pretty much dead to them and should be for their own well-being? I think the concern would be that somebody's capable of doing this once and it's so ingrained in them, What's not to say they're going to try it again if they regain someone's trust?
Well, two things there. First of all, you would be shocked at how many people go back to their abusers' children that forgive and they roll on. There's this saying that we always had in law enforcement, and that is a mom, even a bad mom, is better than no mom. And that's why you see these people, these kids that are abused, forgive and want that recognition and love and from their mom or their father. In this case, their mom. So do I think that will happen here? I think it's very possible in some of the instances, and I think other of the kids will completely disown her. But that's a psyche thing that you see so often. So I anticipate that. The other thing is you mentioned, can she turn it around? Can she be a great person? This is my view on that, just from dealing with these people. When I say these people, I mean abusers. They can get better, but anyone who has the propensity to harm a child like that, it doesn't go away. I'll never change my view on that because nobody's ever proved me wrong. You can get counseling, you can get better for a while, but it's like taking somebody that's normal and saying, okay, I want you to beat your child to an inch of their life. I want you to starve them. I want you to put them in duct tape in a cellar. You'd say, are you kidding me? I love my child. I'm not doing that. That's the probability that you're going to get those types of people not to want to do that again.
Yeah, the fact that you're able to even do it once just shows your mind could go there again. You may say it won't, but it went there once. For some people, that's just, it's a no-go. It's not going to happen for any reason whatsoever, no matter who says that to you. With Ruby, a lot more impressionable. Unfortunately, what this is probably going to set itself up as all these kids get older, is you probably will have some that will go back to wanting to have a relationship with mom just by sheer odds of numbers with the kids, and some that want to have nothing to do with her, which I'm going to guess is going to end up creating some tension within that relationship, still allowing Ruby to kind of have her claws into everybody even after all the damage that she's done. It's going to go on, you know, until she's dead and probably for the rest of these kids' lives.
Well, I really hope that Sherry can kind of take this matriarch role in that family and really be the one that cohesively bonds them and helps heal. Obviously, they need so much counseling and are receiving that. But I hope she's there for them. You know, it seems like she will be. And I think that's the best ending we could have.
We didn't hear a lot about Kevin Franke in any of the interviews. I haven't read the book yet, so I don't know how much he talks about her dad in it. And he's really stayed out of the spotlight for the most part, as much as he could in this, other than being featured in a lot of Ruby's videos. Where do you think it stands there for any of his responsibility in this? Is there any, or is he a victim in this as well?
I've always said he is responsible as well. He's the quiet one that let it happen. And in addition, I will never be able to forget the video that I saw. It's a body-worn camera video. And it's when he goes after Sherry for items that she took out of the house, which were things like diaries and things like that. And he wanted them back. He said, those are my things, you know, which I'm sure implicated him and, you know, probably didn't say such good things about him, perhaps. I don't know. And he wanted her arrested.
Yeah.
He meets with the officer and says, well, can't you, I mean, I'm paraphrasing, can't you put her in jail?
Yeah,
can't you arrest her? That was all I needed to see to understand out of his own lips, his mindset toward his daughter. I can tell you, and I, you know, I think your audience, you know, would agree, as a parent, other than if your child's committed a horrible crime and you're trying to get them to, you know, confess and go to law enforcement about or something like that, you don't want to see your kid behind bars. You wouldn't even think anything about, hey, can you go out and arrest my kid because she took some of our books?
Yeah.
And that was his mindset. Punishment, punishment, punishment. So you're never going to be able to convince me that he wasn't on board with Ruby. No.
I think he was totally on board with it. I just wonder how much of his... He had almost been brainwashed, I think. It doesn't excuse his lack of accountability, lack of being the parent that stands up and says, what you're doing is crazy. We're not doing that anymore. And I'm going to take my kids and get the hell out of here, which would be the responsible thing to do. But I mean, it's very easy for us to Monday morning quarterback it and say, this is what you should do. But again, after years and years, I'm sure of abuse from Ruby, that was, marketed as this quirky behavior and, oh, Ruby's being Ruby. That certainly probably takes its toll. I'm guessing he probably had a fear of Ruby as well. Again, doesn't excuse anything, but I'm going to guess it probably existed.
Maybe. I don't know. Like I said, it'll take a lot for me to ever turn around after listening to how he had so much disdain for mm-hmm. his own child and wanted her behind bars, Tony. And that was public. That's in front of a police officer. I always say people are on their best behavior in public and in front of the police. They're on their worst behavior when doors are closed. Mm-hmm. What was he doing and saying when those doors were closed?
Do you think he's behind closed doors right now feeling shame for his actions? Or do you think it's kind of like Ruby where I don't know that she's capable of it?
I don't think so. I mean, if he did think that way, he has a huge platform throughout all mainstream media and social media. People would love to get an interview with him, and he would have a perfect stage to say contritely, I am so sorry for what my children suffered. Mm-hmm. I should have never let them alone with that monster. You know, I'm a man, I can make a living, and I needed to protect my children. We're not hearing anything like that. So I give him no pass. I'm sorry, Tony. No. I can't get there.
I agree. I just can't. I think it would be one thing if he came out and said, look, I failed. Here's my story. It's not an excuse, but here's my story. So you understand kind of the recipe of who I was at that time. I'm not that person anymore. All I want is the forgiveness of my family and my kids. And I hope that I can earn that back. We've heard nothing of that. Really, the last thing we saw, I think, publicly, and I could be wrong, was exactly what you're talking about. That video last year when Ruby was going down and then Sherry was trying to get her stuff. And it was exactly what you said. Can you arrest her as she's just trying to get her stuff? Shocking story. Now hearing it from the kids' perspective makes it even more real and dark, darker than I think we even thought it could have been.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.